Good morning, family and friends of Alamo United Methodist Church. That is Alamo, the place to be on Sundays. For the benefit of anyone who found us on their radio at FM 96.9 in San Antonio, we are physically located at 4071 North Foster Road. For anyone who is looking for a new church home or just one to visit, come and worship with us any Sunday morning at 10:30. Everyone is welcome. This morning's opening scripture is taken from Psalm 146 as it is printed in the New King James Version of our Bible. Listen to God's word in this reading. And a lead-in is the happiness of those whose help is the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in the princes, nor in the son of a man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs. He returns to his earth, and in that very day his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves those who are righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, in all generations. Praise the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mic is on. Good morning.
Good morning.
Did I sound any better with the mic on, or was it? Did it make any difference?
It's better.
Amen. Oh my goodness! It's so good to see everyone here this morning. You know what, folks? You know what really makes it wonderful for being a child of God? You know what's really the crowning grace? Is you get to love everyone. Amen? Amen. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to love and be kind to everyone. Now, welcome to our service this morning. We trust that something will be said, or a song will be sung, something that will help you along in your journey. And believe me, folks, we are on a journey. So at this time, let us go to the Lord in prayer. We give thanks to you, gracious and merciful Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord, what a beautiful, beautiful day you've given us, Lord, to worship. Another day, Lord, to get things right with you. And Heavenly Father, we lift up today. We lift up each one in this congregation, from the oldest to the youngest. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that your blessings will be on each one of them. Those that may be going through some things, Lord, we pray that you would help them through it. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be with our nation, Lord, as we prepare for this election. And we ask, Lord, that whatever happens, Lord, that your will and your kindness and your love will overpower everything. And then this nation, Lord, can move on. Hopefully, Lord, we'll move on whichever way, whoever wins, we'll move on with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this country. Thank you for this church. But most of all, we thank you for Jesus, our Savior. And it's his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, stand up on your feet. get up on your feet for a minute and look around, shake your arms and wave around, see who's here, and get all the cobwebs out. That way you know who's here and who's not.
Got a folk right up here.
Amen. Now that you're waving around and now that you know who's here and who's not here, now, Jay? No, well, first of all, the affirmation of faith this morning is in your hymnals. What's the page number?
887.
887. It'll also be up on the screen. 887. Number 887. And when you find it, would you please stand in honor of the Lord this morning?
Say amen.
Amen.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Let the people say,
no.
In all things, and all the conquerors, through the one who loved us, we are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. In Christ Jesus our Lord, thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Be seated.
In the past, we have done prayer vigils. I know we have not had one in quite a long time. Our late Eileen Kincaid was one of the main individuals that would initiate this. I was very much inspired by Moses. And if you missed Moses last week, he has a ministry in Africa. And it is to stop, listen, and do something. I spoke with Pastor this week in reference to our church has not had a prayer vigil in many years. And what he approved of is I have a list, and I would like for us as a United Methodist Church, Alamo, to go and step out of our comfort zone and let's have a prayer vigil on the fifth day of November, one of the most important days to each and every one of us here in the United States. Not only that, but then across the country. We have suffered so many losses on the East Coast with hurricanes and storms, and I can't imagine going home, say, today, and my home not be there. My livelihood would be gone. We want to make sure that we keep all of these people in prayer, the people that are homebound, the ones, our loved ones that we know. And I know for a fact prayer has been very strong in my household. Our family has gone through tragedies. We've gone through heartaches and health issues. So, and I know the power of prayer. It has got me through it. So I have a list here, and I would like for us to be able to be vigil and have each and every hour from 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. on November the 5th. Some member of our church will be listed on each and every one of these hours. So our prayers will be lifted throughout the entire day. And I rest assured, if you've never experienced this, it will leave you with quite a spiritual movement. And remember, God is good all the time. Yes, God is good. And I do thank you in advance.
Is this something we do at home?
You do this at home. And not only that, get other family members involved. Get your neighbors involved, friends involved. I mean, you don't have to be here to do this. Do it during your devotional that you have at home. But just let's see if we can't just send this power out to our nation, to the world, and to people in need. And let's keep this thing going for the entire day. We're looking at 12 hours here, but hey, there's more than 12 people in the room. More than one person can be here hourly. So, you know, let's double up and let's do the job. Thank you. Pastor,
I'll add my little 2 cents. That Ann will have that list to sign up back in the lobby when you leave. Please sign up. You can sign up for more than one time slot. From 7 a.m. Tuesday to, when is it, Ann? 7? Thank you. Okay. 7, right. 7 a.m. Tuesday to 7 p.m. on Election Day. And just pray. You can pray at home. Pray in your car. The key is to just pray for our country. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right.
Will Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Families.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, lead us. For our years, life will repair. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Thine has bought us, thine we are. We are thine, thou dost befriend us. Be thou guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us. Seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to grace to cleanse and pardon free. Blessed Jesus, we will hear thee turn to thee. Blessed Jesus, we will early turn to thee. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Touch we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pasture feed us, for our use thy fold prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are.
Amen. Congregation, please be seated.
As we prepare for our tithes and offerings, let us take a moment to center ourselves, to allow God into our presence. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come seeking, we come listening, we come needing your care. We ask, Lord, that as we go through our time, that we be mindful not only of ourselves and our needs, but on the needs of others. For there is so much in the world that we tend to overlook. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience so that we may be the cheerful givers that you desire, so that the needs of the world may be taken care of. These things we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
This week's scripture is Luke chapter 21, verses 5 through 19. The destruction of the temple and signs of the end of times. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they said, they asked, "when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all of this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison. And you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to me. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair on your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
let's go to God in prayer as we prepare to hear the word proclaimed. Heavenly Father, we come listening, we come seeking, we come with our ears open and our minds also. We ask, Lord, that as the word is proclaimed, that you give each of us your strength. Let us hear your word and take it to our heart. We ask that you give Pastor Ted strength and courage. Strengthen him so that his words may be yours. And further, Lord, let us take your message with us when we leave and not keep it, but give it to others. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. I guess it was a good thing you couldn't hear me because it wasn't my turn. All right. Well, good morning. I hope y'all had a great week last week. All right. So, when you get in a car, what is it that you put on? A seatbelt. And why do you think you do that? To keep you safe. And so when you get it on a boat, has anybody been on a boat here? No? You have? Maybe. But when you get on a boat, when you're under 12, you have to wear one of these the whole time you're on the boat. And this is to keep you safe in case you fall off the boat. Then this is a life jacket. It helps you float, right? Well, God has told us that everything that He is teaching us is to help us along the way when we have troubles, right? And He also is teaching us that even when we have hard times, it's a season. So sometimes our seasons will be, so it's not like a season like fall and spring and summer. It's like a season like hard times, fun times, just times. So it's when we go through life, sometimes things are hard and sometimes things are not hard, right? So have you ever dealt with a friend and maybe they're not being so nice and you just don't understand, but then it becomes okay? So it just teaches us that things will always change and He's always giving us the tools to go through life. And when we believe in Him and we trust in Him and we use what He told us in the Bible, that at the end we will have no troubles because we will be with Him in paradise. So He gives us a fire extinguisher in case we have a fire. That's something we never want to do, right? But He gave us this so we could do that. Or what is this? A Band-Aid in case we get hurt. We can apply this and feel better. When I was a little girl, I don't know, everything, if a Band-Aid was on it, it was good, right? Have you ever thought about that? Did y'all do that? It didn't matter if I fell down and got a bruise, a Band-Aid made it better, but it didn't really, right? A Band-Aid doesn't help a bruise, but it helped me. So we have to remember that God is telling us that it is important that we trust in Him and that everything will be a season. He's given us the tools, and we always have to go back to that tool, which is the Bible, to read it and to do as He says, and we will get through the seasons. Okay? Let's say a prayer. Dear Jesus, we put our faith and trust in your promise to be with us when we are afraid. In your name we pray.
In your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Have a good week, guys.
Amen. Morning. You ever had a day or a morning or a week or a month when it seems like no matter what you do, no matter how good you try to be, it just seems like everything falls apart? Anybody ever been down that road? You know, it just seems like it's just like, hey, Lord, this ain't gonna happen. You know, it's just too much for me. You know, everything falls apart. Our title this morning is When Everything Falls Apart. And what Jesus, His main idea here is that He talks of a bleak future that involves the destruction of that precious temple and he talks about wars and violence and arrest and persecution. When everything falls apart, Jesus teaches the way forward is by exercising patient endurance. Now, our problems. Now, we all have problems. Some problems are big, some of them are small. One example is Starbucks doesn't get your coffee order right. That's not such a big problem, you know. Your favorite sports team loses. My favorite sports team's been losing so much till it used to be a problem, but now it's not a problem anymore. It's just a way of life, you know. You know, so, those are minor problems. Problems that don't, you know, they're problems. We're not their real big problems. But if you are like me, you some of us, we've lived long enough, you're going to go through seasons where the problems are going to get much harder, they're going to get much bigger, they're going to get more painful, and they're going to get more emotional. And if you haven't reached that stage yet, you just keep on living, amen? And you will. But you know, your car breaks down. Now, I don't know about you, but when my car breaks down, that just totally ruins my day. Amen? I mean, I feel like nothing can go right anymore. You know, or maybe your phone battery, it quits on you, you know. Or the Wi-Fi is real slow, and you might get a bad haircut, you know. No, those are problems that just cause irritation, you know. But there are big problems. When we get laid off, our marriage fails, our business fails, a loved one dies, or we go to the doctor and we get a horrible diagnosis. You know, the economy crashes. These are things that happen outside our control. Sometimes life will punch you in the stomach. It'll punch you in the stomach so hard that we collapse. And we wonder, Lord, how in the world can I go on? Everything is falling apart. So in this case, when we look at the scriptures in Luke 21, verses 5 through 19, Jesus is going to tell a story about the temple with his disciples. And we've already went over the scripture, so we're going to go right to the scripture. And then in the scripture, we're going to make a few observations and see what the Lord is trying to teach us. In Luke 21, 5 through 19, starting with verse 5, the Lord is teaching. It begins with his disciples. They are admiring just how beautiful, beautiful these stones are on this temple. Boy, Lord, this is a great temple. It's awesome. It's pretty. You know, and this was Israel. This was the second temple. The first one got destroyed by the Babylonians in 586 B.C. And now this temple, it was the very center of the Jewish faith and had been under construction for years. And it cost a lot of money, a lot of money. And Jesus is going to just flip everything upside down. And he's going to interrupt their admiration by saying something that they thought was just unthinkable. He says, soon all of this will be destroyed. Don't you ever think that you're all that in a bag of chips. Because when you start thinking like that, especially with believers, when you start putting yourself high and mighty that nothing can happen because you got good things going, I would suggest to you and caution you, you better watch out. You better be careful. Amen? Be careful. Put everything in perspective. Jesus interrupts their admiration by saying all of this will be destroyed. The entire temple is coming down. You see, what they see here, it will be stone upon stone. And the disciples, they were shocked. Go, what? What do you mean it's going to be destroyed? How can this be? This is where our God dwells. This is a beautiful place. Look at all the gold and silver around it. And that's going to be, this is going to be reduced to ashes, you know? Hey, it happened to us once, but it ain't going to happen again. And then they asked this question, Lord, when will we have any advance warning? And Jesus responds with this: here is your warning. Everything will fall apart. You'll see wars, natural disasters, and famines. You'll be arrested and thrown into prison. Your closest friends and family, they're going to turn away from you. You'll be hated, and oh, by the way, some of you are going to die, all because of me. Now, this must have just blown their minds. I would imagine it would have mine. Said, oh, my goodness, you know. But we can look at these scriptures, and we can get some very good observation from these scriptures. Let's take a look at them real quick. The first one is this: we are not in control of the events of life. We can't control our height. When I was growing up, I thought if I drank enough milk that I would grow tall. Well, apparently I didn't drink enough milk because I didn't grow tall. You know, I thought you can't change your eye color. Oh, you can get top contacts, but you can't change what the Lord has given. Or you cannot change your skin color. We cannot control what other people say about us or think about us. And most of all, we can't control the weather. Amen? I tell you, I tried to control the weather all weekend. And I got a little bit of rain, but not much, you know. I can tell you this. One of the surest ways to become a miserable person is this. It's to fixate on things that you cannot control. You know, when Jesus spoke to the disciples about everything falling apart, there was nothing they could do about it. You can't stop the wars. You can't stop the Roman army. They couldn't even stop their family from hating them. And they certainly weren't going to be able to stop the authorities from imprisoning or making martyrs of them. Jesus is saying that bad things are going to happen in this life that you cannot change. You cannot change those things. You have no control over them. Now, the second observation I want us to look at is this. When something happens outside our control, we have a choice. We can either react or we can respond. To react means we act out of fear, impulsively. We get scared. Everything goes out the window, you know. I prayed, but no, Lord, I'm scared now. I'm not praying anymore. You see, we let our emotions, our feelings, and we let them take over. You know, our emotions are good, but they should be our servants. They shouldn't be our leaders. Our emotions are valid, and we should listen to them. But we must not act impulsively out of them. You see, people who respond well to events that they can't control of life, they choose to respond with faith and courage. So you can either react or you can respond with faith and courage. And to react is kind of like our default setting. And if bad things happen, oh my goodness, you know, we just blow up. But to respond, that takes skill, that takes practice, and it takes the enabling of the Holy Spirit of God to help you to respond rather than to react. Third observation I want us to make is this: Jesus teaches us how to respond when everything falls apart. How in the world, Lord, everything is falling apart around me? What am I going to do? This is what he says. He says, after he list the terrible things that are on the horizon, he says to them, he tells them this: stand firm and you will win life. Now, this is Luke 5:21. Now, the NIV says stand firm, and there's a Greek word for that in the original text, which is better translated with patient endures. Stand firm with patient endures. Wait on the Lord. Wait on it. You know, Jesus teaches us and his disciples that when bad things are on the horizon, that we should stand firm and stand firm with patient endurance. Patient endurance, that's our response to the events that we cannot control. Patient endurance. We don't react out of fear, anxiety, or anger. But instead of getting those feelings, we choose an initial response of patient endurance. And a good example is the early church. They were well known for their patient endurance. They had to go through a lot
getting the gospel out and starting and growing. But they were very patient, because you know what, folks? They believe that God himself is patient. How many of you believe that God is patient? I do. I believe he's patient. If he wasn't patient, I wouldn't be here. He's very, very patient. And if God is patient, guess what? We need to be patient as well. You see, we need to believe God and what he says. And we can be patient, patiently endure what the Lord has for us.
Yeah.
Now, this is good news for us, because as I said earlier, patience is part of God's eternal nature. It's good to know this. God is not anxious. He doesn't get afraid. He's not surprised. You know, he doesn't get nervous when, you know, when he looks down and sees Ted going sideways. He doesn't get fearful, or he doesn't stress out. You know, there was no anxiety in Jesus' voice when he told him about what was going to happen with the temple. He said, stand firm and you will win life. Win life. He said, patiently endure and you will win life. Now, there's one final observation that I want us to look at. And this comes from Luke 21, 1 through 4. You see, it's interesting that the disciples, they're admiring the beautiful temple. Their focus was looking at the temple, looking at it and how beautiful it was. But our Lord was looking at something totally different. Totally different. You know, you see, Luke 21, 1 through 4. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people, they gave their gifts out of their wealth. But she, out of her poverty, she put in all she had to live on. The disciples noticed impressive architecture, but Jesus, he noticed the poor widow. You see, she was patiently enduring the hardship of her life. She had lost her husband. She was living in grinding poverty, but she had patient endurance. Everything had fell apart. Everything had fell apart. She was living in poverty, but she had patient endurance. And she gave everything that she had. And when you think about it, dear one, think about this. Everything was about to fall apart for our Lord also. You see, he was going to face betrayal, abandonment, a trial, a conviction, and he was about to be whipped and beaten and even crucified. And how in the world did our Lord, how did he approach this culmination of events when everything in his life was about to fall apart? He patiently endured it all. He patiently endured it. Oh my goodness, what an example for us. He patiently endured it all. He endured death in order to overcome death. He gave his life for the forgiveness of sin. This is what Hebrews 12:2 says about that. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Sat at the right hand of the throne of God. He patiently endured the cross. You see, patient endurance is part of God's eternal character. He sees all our struggles. He sees when we're mad. He sees when we're glad. He sees when we're upset. And he knows that we're going through some things. And you know what, dear one? He's with us. He's with us. So remember this, you can't control the events of your life, but you do have a choice. You can either react or you can respond. And Jesus teaches us today to respond with patient endurance. And God sees us as is with us, helping us along the way. Now let me share with you a verse, and then we will close. This comes from 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7. When you're down and depressed and things are not going right, when everything is falling apart for you, just look in God's word. There you will find strength and help. 1 Peter 5:7. It says, cast all your cares or your anxiety on him. Don't carry all that around with you. Give it to Jesus, because he cares for you. When it's all about to fall apart, patiently endure and trust the Lord. And remember, dear one, he said he promised that he would be with us every step of the way. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you never were surprised, fearful, or anxious. Teach us, O Lord, to become disciples who patiently endure whenever life throws at us. We can do this only through the power of your Holy Spirit. Fill us, O Lord, even right now, so that we might be able to patiently endure. In your precious name we pray. Amen and amen. As we prepare for our invitation this morning, in order for you to patiently endure with the Lord, you have to be with him. Amen. And when I say with him, things have to be right between you and him. Oh, folks, it's so important that you get things right. If something is in your heart or on your mind that you know is not right, I invite you to come to the altar during the invitation. You don't give it to me. I have no heaven or hell to put you. But I know someone who can help you. I know someone, and you know someone who can take you through hard times. If you're one who wishes to join our church, and you get tired of bumping your head against the wall, I invite you and encourage you to come to the altar this morning. And remember, we have the Lord's Supper before us this morning. Make sure, this is important, make sure that you confess everything before the Lord before you take that supper. That is so very important. Amen? Amen. The altar is open for all who wish to come. Would you please stand?
Our invitation is just a closer walk with thee.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. All be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. This is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear. Let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Go with me, my burden share. None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely on to thy shore, dear Lord, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord,
God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the heights. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the heights. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit.
On the night in which he entered his cup of blood, took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Hey, eat, this is my body. Do this again." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, broke it, took the cup, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood, the new covenant, poured out for you and for many. Do this as often as you can." So, in remembrance of these mighty acts of Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, and proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ is God, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us, gathered here. Give us a bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ. May he of the world the body of Christ. He, by his blood, by your spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other, one in ministry with all the world. With Christ comes the final victory that we speak at his heavenly back. With us, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Church, all honor and glory be yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
The Lord's Prayer has already been used earlier in the service. Let me mention just a couple of things, especially for the day of prayer on this coming Tuesday. Let us remember to pray for our nation. We are selecting our leaders for the next period of time. Let us make the correct selection. Make our nomination. Let the Lord choose who he wants. Let us support them. And Psalm 117 was selected for the benediction for today. And this is the shortest psalm in the Bible. Two verses. Let all peoples praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. For his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. As we go from here today, let us remember all who are homebound or ailing in any kind, in any manner. Be with them in prayer. Watch over everyone. And let us gather again next Sunday to hear the message that the Lord sends through our pastor. His holy name, let us pray. Amen. Go in peace.
Our closing hymn is Take Time to Be Holy.
Take time to be holy. Speak off with the Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Friends of God's children, help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. Take time to be holy, the world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness shall see.